This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome to the Ross Report Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and it's November 7th here at Gillette Stadium. Kind of a rainy day, but the guys actually made it in.
Lori Baranski.
Yes, and Mike's causing havoc over here, along with Eric, Paul, and Andy. So what's been going on, guys?
But we actually made it in? You've missed more of these podcasts in the last 6 months than anybody on the planet.
Oh, that's such a lot.
Anyway, injuries continue to hit the defensive backfield, and with a need for depth, the Patriots re-signed cornerback veteran Jason Webster this week and placed Sean Crable on the reserve injured list with a shin injury that's, you know, been keeping him out of games all season. So his rookie year ends, much like Bo Roode's does, with no games played and a spot on injured reserve. But Paul Perillo, you are the resident Jason Webster expert. He was here throughout the offseason. He was here throughout the summer, even if fans may not have noticed, because he was injured and did not participate in the preseason. What does he bring to the table, and how much action will he see moving forward?
Well, you know, we'll have to wait and see how much action he gets, but what he brings to the table, obviously, is experience. He's been around, this is his ninth season. He's had a lot of starting experience, about 75 games or so of starting NFL experience under his belt. That's a big difference between a rookie like Jonathan Wilhite, a rookie like Terrence Wheatley, who obviously is banged up now too, a guy in Mike Richardson who's getting his first, even though he's a second-year player, it's his first playing time. So I think Belichick just looked for a guy with a little bit more experience, obviously had a background in the system because he was here from March until September, so I think it made a lot of sense.
Should we be disappointed with the young players in any way? I know Jonathan Wilhite played early against the Colts and then came out. Mike Richardson came in. Both guys were caught chasing Anthony Gonzalez at separate times in the game. Is this a move towards experience and nothing more than that?
I mean, that's how I feel. I'd like to see how Mike and Eric think about this, but I don't know how you can be overly disappointed. You get rookie guys out there covering.
Well, that rookie late round.
They're not
guys.
Great, but they're not
but
awful.
Veterans are going to be caught chasing as Dalton well.
Neal's caught chasing.
Yeah.
He's a veteran.
I'm not disappointed with Wilhite or Wheatley or Richardson for that matter.
And I think a lot of us were surprised that Wilhite actually made the team and started seeing significant minutes early on.
Ahead of Wheatley.
So the fact that he's even out there playing, you can kind of look at it one way or the other, depending on whether you're pessimistic or optimistic about it. I tend to think it's optimistic that you have a bunch of young guys who've had a chance to contribute this early. It's just unfortunate that so many of them have been getting hurt. Like Wheatley started against the Colts, and it looked like he was having a decent start to that game and then had the
couple
the injury
pass defenses.
Yeah, he made a couple plays, then he gets hurt.
Got hurt on a bit, making a nice play, going up on the ball, making a pass defense, came down weird. Ends up hurting his left wrist, which is a different wrist than the one in which he has the stainless steel rod. But sticking with Eric Scalavino's optimism here, we're going to say he's probably not done for the year because they didn't place him on IR when they made this move. They could have very easily done that. So you'd think we saw him in the locker room with something on the wrist, kind of keeping it under his sweatshirt a little bit. But you'd think they have the feeling that he's going to be back sooner rather than later, or he probably would have been escorted to IR. But nobody wants to talk about Jason Webster. No disrespect to Jason Webster, even though he is a Patriot now. What people want to talk about is one, D'Angelo Hall, a Pro Bowl cornerback in the past, two times.
No disrespect.
Who was made available this week by Al Davis and the Raiders, who, after trading a second and fifth round pick for Hall and handing him a 7-year, $70 million contract, including $8 million he was paid for the first eight games this season, they released him. He did clear waivers, and there are reports that the Patriots have had contact with him and have interest in him. I'll go first, Mike Parenti.
Yeah, I'd be interested too, absolutely. You need all the help you can get at that position, and beggars really can't be choosers at this point. As far as bringing in somebody like Hall, at least with his age, he's a little bit younger than a guy like a Jason Webster. Doesn't know the system, but I'll take a better younger player than an older player who's not as good but knows the system, and that's clearly what Webster is. And you could have also had a guy like Fernando Bryant, but obviously they don't think much of him, and he's still out on the streets unemployed. With Hall, I'd take a gamble on it, at least bring him in for a workout and kind of get a gauge of his attitude and what he can do on the field. And if you don't like him, send him home. It's that simple.
I want to read a quote before I let Paul and Eric talk. Paul, you've probably already seen this. This will be in the upcoming issue of Patriots Football Weekly in Paul Domowich's column on Hall and the Raiders. This is a quote from D'Angelo Hall, said last week. "Every scheme I've been in has kind of allowed me to do what I like to do," Hall said. "But being here, meaning Oakland, I almost have to do what I'm told. It can be a little bit frustrating at times. I'm a two-time Pro Bowler, 20 picks in my career. It's kind of hard to be told what to do, especially when you're comfortable doing something else. Are those the words of a future Patriot?
Well, the thing that surprised me most about Hull was, and that kind of explains a little bit of it, was the
stats. He doesn't like to be told what to do.
Well, that, but he had given up the most yardage of any cornerback.
Yeah,
so all those any defensive player this
which
year.
I'm always a little hesitant on those fancy pants stats that STAT big capital stats puts out where 66 balls and more yards and all that. But yeah, he's not having a good year. I think he's been sulking.
Maybe it's a case of
because they told him what to do.
That maybe he got to Oakland and realized what Randy Moss realized when he got there, which was, you know,
sucks.
You're on a sinking ship and, you know, why bother? And now he feels like he's ready to go to a team that, you know, will give him a chance to do what he wants to do, whether or not he's being told to do it or not. They might be telling him to do the things that he likes to do. So I think the Pats are doing their due diligence on him and wouldn't be surprised, given all the injuries, if he signed within the week.
And you guys all sort of sold me on it. I was a little hesitant at first, and the reason I was hesitant was a lot of the stuff that you just talked about, Andy, with those quotes. And he hasn't played well. I mean, he hasn't played well since day one as an Oakland Raider, so it's not like the losing has gotten to him. He wasn't playing well when he got there. So I don't think that's an excuse. But I do think that you have to have the talent override those other negatives here. And like Mike said, if it doesn't work out, you cut ties with them. You're not gonna invest a lot.
Nothing.
It's not gonna be a lot of money, and it's not gonna be a large term at this point.
Or it's not even a. You're not even giving up a seventh round pick. Yeah. You're getting him off the street, and it's not even the case where we talked about at times with Moss. Well, maybe he becomes a key part of your team for 8 weeks, and then something happens, and he kind of tears you down. You're in the second half of the season already. Your cornerback situation is terrible. He has no net to work with. If he wants to play, he plays by your rules, which means he does what you tell him to do, or you send him home. So reportedly there's somewhere 5-6 teams potentially interested, and the Patriots reportedly are one of them, although Bill Belichick, he said he'd love to comment on it, he didn't actually comment on it. He said he'd talk about the players on his team and not the thousands of players that aren't on it. Well, technically there's probably millions of players, because that would include all high school, college. But thanks for the comment, Bill. Anyway, you at least delivered it with a smile, and we all enjoyed it. Bottom line, Paul Perillo, D'Angelo Hall signs with?
Dallas.
Eric Scalavino.
Dallas.
New York Giants, I say. Your team gets stronger. I think that's the best combination for him as a sure shot to go to a Super Bowl postseason. Disciplined environment under Tom Adolf Hitler Coughlin over there, and they get the job done.
I agree with you, but that's not the question you asked.
What?
I agree that that's the best possibility, the best situation for Hall. But you asked me where he's going to sign.
Right, and it's going to be the New York Giants.
Dallas will outspend anybody.
Well, then they should have claimed him. If Dallas wanted him, that because anybody could have had him. He's passed through waivers
well,
now.
Not
anybody could have claimed
million,
him.
I don't think anybody
well, it's not really $16 million. It's if he gets hurt, it becomes guaranteed.
Right.
So
well, that's a big
dice.
Risk. Why not just sign him to your
I'm
own
just
terms.
Seeing a scroll up on the ESPN that says he signed a 1 year deal with the Redskins.
Oh, good.
Boy, right, good job.
I take the Redskins.
That's a PFW first. We were immediately deemed frauds. It usually takes at least 10 minutes.
Good news, we had the right division. We just had the wrong team.
We had it surrounded. I actually Pittsburgh would have been my second choice, so I wasn't even close.
Future reference: if we're going to take a division in this four of us, why don't we all just take one team so that we can be right?
I didn't realize the Redskins were even in on it.
Well, it's Daniel Snyder. He's never afraid to be in on anything.
Point.
Well done by them. I think D'Angelo Hall can help a team right now in the short term. I would avoid signing him long term, and it looks like the Redskins have done that with a 1 year deal. Anyway, he's not going to be a Patriot, so we'll never talk about him on a roster report again. And I'm sorry we wasted so much time on today's roster report talking about him. That's going to wrap this one up, and we'll send it back to Lori.
All right, thank you, guys. We do have a game this Sunday against the Bills. Join us again next time for the Ross Report podcast. Thanks for listening. Go Pats.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.